And I just want to bring a helpful challenge this morning. It's quite interesting when you said that we send the kids away, because sometimes you feel like sending them away somewhere. There was a time somebody mistakenly asked me a question: how long do you want your kids to be away from you for? I said, well, for as long as you want to help them. Because sometimes you get to a point as a parent where you feel like, you know, I just need a break. Let me just, I mean, like, was it 2-3 weeks ago? They went to a friend's place. We know them quite a lot. And they were supposed to stay for a night. And David said, oh, Daddy, would you like to stay for a bit longer? And then I asked the other person, what do you think? He said, for as long as they want to. Okay, I'm fine. 3 days they were there. I was having a good time, you know, for myself. So. But, and as parents, it's something that we long for. We love our kids. We want them to do well. And today's message, if you want to bring the PowerPoint on now. So I'm going to talk about God's heritage and arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. God's heritage and arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. Parenting is a hard job. Do you want to agree with that? Now, this message is not just for parents, so it's for everyone, okay? If you're an aunt, you're an uncle, a cousin, whatever you are, there's something in this message that I believe will be helpful for you. But parenting is a hard job. Nothing can ever adequately prepare you for this job. There is no manual that will ever tell you what to do. You'll get to a point in your life where, like, what do I do? I'm kind of stuck. I mean, sometimes you feel your job is like that of a police officer. You're trying to stop chaos. So if you bring that slide up, it's quite interesting because you're like a police. You're trying to secure the area. I'm not sure if you can see that. So, you know, when Lois and David were quite younger, obviously, if you've got kids, you have to try and barricade everywhere. So we had that gate there. And somehow, you can see her over there, she found a way to climb through the gate and escaped. She escaped. Can you believe that? And guess what happened when she escaped? Guess what happened? Next slide. Okay. It's not quite doing good justice to the picture, but what you will see is those pictures, there's chaos everywhere. Thanks, Duncan. Maybe that'll be helpful if you can see that. There's chaos everywhere. That's a baby with pseudo cream on, you know. And there was a time we did some washing and I left it in one of the rooms. And before I came, within 5 minutes, they literally turned everywhere upside down. I literally cleaned that about, I think it was like many years ago, and I've tidied everything up. And before I came back, within 10 minutes, everyone was scattered. I was like, what do I call this? What's this all about? And kids, they really do humble you. They really do humble you. Because when this happens, like, where do I even start? What do I do? And kids, they really do humble you. So the next slide actually talks about, so if you want to bring that story, after I had this job, now look at that. Now, it's just amazing what happens, how they sleep, and you just look at them sometimes like, oh, what have you done today? So after I had this job, you can see how they sleep off, and you feel like they've had a very long day. And kids really humble you as a parent. When you go through this cycle, you ask yourself, when will I ever get out of this? But the good thing is that you do get out of this, okay? And anytime you go on holiday, it's like, and for most time, we pack more for them than for us. Oftentimes, I forget things about myself. I'm like, I need to pack sometimes like one or two bags. Sometimes you go for a couple of days and you stack things up. And that's what happened. And I know for the younger parents in the house that just had babies as well, you really love your sleep. You know, last week I was speaking to Karen. I was like, sometimes Esther wakes up at night, and what does she do? She has to find a way to get asleep. So sleep, it's premium. If you've got young kids, it's really premium if you've got young kids. Yet, right before our eyes, something is changing. What I just showed you was many years ago. Right before our very eyes, we are beginning to see a transition. And today, that is where my challenge will be from. That was taken about 2018. You know, I mean, sorry, Amelia. Need to bring you up in that. And literally, I mean, Seb was nine a few days ago. Is that correct, Chris? I can't believe Seb is nine. I can't believe. I mean, Lawrence is 10, David is 12. And right before our eyes, we are beginning to see a transition. In 5 years' time, everyone in this place will be at least 14 years old. They will come to a point, they are coming to a point in their lives where they are going to be making some critical life decisions. In the next 6-7 years, some of them will be sitting where you are. They will no longer be going out every Sunday. And for me, when I began to think about this message, it bothered me. It bothered me. God, right before my eyes, Lord, my kids are changing. I mean, I used to hug, and, you know, my lowest, she's 10, very almost as tall as me. And now in the next 2 or 3 years, I want to hold her hand. She was like, Daddy, what are you doing? I'm just holding my hand outside now because she feels like she's grown and all that. And so before my eyes, I'm seeing a transition for my kids as well. And when you come to church, you see the same thing as well. And I believe as Christians, we need to see things from God's perspective. So today, I just want to bring something very helpful for us today. And I'm going to pick my text from Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5. So we're looking at arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior and God's heritage. So if you go to your Bible, can you turn to Psalm 127, 3 to 5? Your text should come up on the screen as well. So, let's read. Children are indeed a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. He would not be put to shame when they confront the enemies at the gate. Being a young person today, it's getting tougher by the day. You know, I train as a teacher, teach chemistry and physics, and I've worked in different schools over the years, and my heart breaks when I see a lot of things that happen in schools. A kid's mental health is on the decline. Almost 1 in 6 are referred for mental health services. Most schools, there's a waiting time for even to see an ELSA, which is an emotional learning support assistant. And many kids have been referred to CAMHS. And as a parent and as a teacher, your heart melts when you see young people in their 12, 13, 14 experiencing mental disorder, eating disorder. You see them going through a lot of stress. A topic that sometimes we don't want to talk about, identity is becoming a problem for our young people as well. Who am I? What exactly I am? And there's a lot of confusion about that as well. You just need to watch the news and you can see the strain on the system. Suspension is on the rise in school. So if you look at, I've got I tried to use my data analysis in my preach. But if you look at it, you can see the trend there. You can see that, you know, since after the pandemic, there's been a rise in the number of suspension in schools. If you look at it, over 263,900 suspension in one academic year. And if you look at the country, I think that was 750,000 to 1 million kids. So if you look at it, about almost like 1 in 4 have been suspended. And that worries you as a parent. Now, what is going on in our school? The government is firefighting. Anytime you listen to the government, the only answer you hear is we throw money at problem. Money don't solve problems oftentimes. So, you know, it's not about how much money you give to a problem. It's understand the root causes of the problem. And as Christians, we need to have a different approach to how we see these things. In fact, there's another stat there. 52% of 17 to 23-year-olds have experienced a deterioration in their mental health. In the last 5 years, about 34% have been referred to the NHS services and are not even accepted into treatment because of the strain on the service. Now, if your child is in this space, what do you do as a parent? Right before your eyes, they are transiting, they're changing, and these issues are coming up. So what must we do as a church and as parents? Must we just fold our hands? What should be our response? And so today I want to talk about three key things very quickly. The fact that we need to see kids in a different light. Okay, so they are God's heritage. And I'm going to talk about the secret plot. How the devil is a strategist. The devil understands how to capture young people. And so I'm going to really help us to understand how the enemy is infiltrating the life of our kid and how we need to intervene. What must we do as a church? I feel this is a clarion call from a parent, from a teacher, from someone that's saying everything. I mean, I've worked in different schools, different deprived areas, in a flourishing area as well, and I've seen everything. And so I just want to bring a perspective this morning as a church as well, what we should be doing as a church. So this is not just about parenting. This is about the church response to the issues that are sadly going to come to our kids at some point in their lives. Okay, so if we go to Psalm 127 again, it says, children are the heritage from the Lord. And for me, that is a starting point, isn't it? Psalm 127 is a song of ascent. So if you look at the Bible, you will see it's a song of ascent of David. And in verses 1 and 2, the Bible talks, I will come to 1 and 2. Okay, he's on the board. It says, without God, labors are in vain. If you look at verse 3 to 5, it then says that children are the heritage from the Lord. Children are not ultimately the product of human effort. They are a gift from God. The first thing we need to realize is that every child is a gift from God. God has given us this precious gift. So children are our heritage from the Lord. God is interested in their lives. You know, in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, you know what the Bible says? It said the seed of the woman. Right from Genesis, God knew that he is going to use the seed of the woman to crush the serpent. So right from time, God knows that these guys are my heritage. These are the ones I am going to use to crush Satan. So we need to realize that for every child, they have a gift from God. And it's important that we see them that way. They are not just a gift for us, they're a gift given from God. So they're not just kids, but heritage from God and arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. Now, if you look at verse 4, the Bible compares a child to an arrow. It says, arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior had the sons born in one's youth. So the warrior sent arrows skillfully towards their target in hope that they will hit the mark. In these verses, we can see that natural children are metaphorically compared to arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior, clearly implying how blessed he would be if his quiver is full of them. He said, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Now, there are two things I want to bring up very quickly in that verse. I believe the quiver talks about the church. I mean, when it's time for the kids to go out, how many of them are 20-odd kids leave this place? Our quiver is full of them. We are blessed to have kids. Many, I think 2 or 3 years ago, I know I've shared this story before, I was in Winchester, I went for a training, I just went to the shopping mall, I sat down by myself, minding my business, I met a lady about in her 70s, 80s, and I heard a lamentation from her. And she was lamenting. She didn't realize I was a Christian. She was telling me, oh, I'm so heartbroken. In my church, there are no youth in my church. We're just so elderly. The youngest in the church then was about 65. And she just opened up and began to talk to me. And I was just there like, okay. And then I told her that I'm a Christian. And she was surprised. And she was like, oh, wow, I didn't know you're a Christian. Sorry, I hope I'm not really bored. She said, no. I said, Lord, I said, you're really heartbroken. And I said, yes, I am. I feel so much and worried. And the next 5 to 10 years, the church will close down because the young guy is 65 and we need young people to come up. And we are blessed at the church. Our quiver is full of them. And as a church, we need to think of what must we do to help these young people. Because our quiver is full of them. John Piper wrote, he said, the biblical quest for spiritual formation is a quest to be shaped from within by the presence of the living God. That we are no longer conformed to this age, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. When you see an arrow, what comes to your mind? An arrow has got to be shaped. An arrow has got to be sharpened. And I'm going to talk to you at some point about how we need to sharpen and how we need to sharpen this guy so that they can stand with the enemies at the gate. So the first point, these kids are heritage from the Lord. They're gift from God. And because they're gift from God, the next point I want to draw home is there's a secret ploy from the devil. So my point two is there is a secret ploy from the devil. Because the devil knows that these guys are gift from God. All he tries to do is to distract your attention and to make sure that you do not have the most valuable thing in life, which is time for them. The devil knows these guys are gifts from God. If they are gifts from God, what can I do to take this gift from these people? Take their time. Let them walk 9 to 9 every day. Let them not have time for them. And one day this gift will be taken from their hand. And I will have this precious gift, the seed of the woman. The devil always battles for the seed of the woman. Because he knows if I can get the seed. In fact, I haven't got time to show you in Revelation. The Bible talks about the seed of the woman as well. The devil knows that if I can get the seed of the woman, then I have won. And so as Christians, we need to understand that the seed that comes from us, that gift from God, but that the devil that wants to make sure that they are not gift from God, he can have them. And so all the challenges I mentioned earlier is just showing us that the devil is fighting for the soul of our kids. So if you look at Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2, I'll come to that in a minute. It says, I'll just read that very quickly. It says, except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that builds it. Except the Lord watches over the city, those who watch it watch in vain. It is in vain to wake up early in the morning and stay up late at night, working so hard to have enough food. Yet it gives his beloved good sleep. The devil knows that if I can get their time. And it's a challenge to us as parents. How much time do you have for your kids? I have to work. For me, I have to work. We have to provide for them. We want them to have the best of time, the best of life. But what's the priority? Because if you're not careful, you will work so hard and you'll not have time for them. And that is what the devil wants. He wants you to work so hard, you wake up in the morning, you go and come back late at night. You eat the bread of adversity. You struggle hard. Sometimes I'm working hard. I'm like, when will I have time for the kids? I spoke to Johnny last week, and I hope he was there. Maybe he will listen to this. And he said something profound. He said, for me, time is very important. And so as parents, we need to ask ourselves, how much time do you have for these kids? My daughter is 10. Very soon, she will be exposed. She will be making some critical life decisions. What am I doing today to say, hey, what's going on? I always say we do D and D. Sometimes daddy and daughter, David and daddy, for me and Lois, for me and David, just to just take them out. It's okay, what's going on? How are your friends in school? Is there a boy coming up? What's going on there? I'm going to have those conversations with them at some point. And I'm saying, Lord, help me. Lord, give me wisdom to shape them. Because a time will come, and I will show it later, they have to say no to some things in their lives. And if they're not ready, they will be saying yes to everything. And the devil will just take them from us. God knows that they are a gift from you. You say, if earthly fathers knows how to give gift to their children, how much more do heavenly father? God gave you these guys. And let me quickly say something very quickly. True life story. I have realized in my life, and maybe this might not be applicable to everyone, that the time that I've struggled the most financially is the time that I've been blessed the most. The time I felt like, oh, I don't have enough. That's the time I've had so much more. Because I go to God and say, God, you give these guys as gift to me. They are not burdens. They are gift from you. Why should I be burdened about providing for them? Matthew 6, look at the sheep. Look at every, they don't do nothing. Yet your Father in heaven clothes them. How much more, oh, ye of little faith? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And every all these things, people are searching, waking up in the morning, coming back at night. God gives to us. Most times I've got to a point in my life, I've said, God, you give us these guys, you will provide. And that is when we've had more than enough. It is when I say, God, I need to do something. That is when we struggle. Note to Dyer, I just said that. Is that what you do as well? Do you feel you have to struggle, you have to work hard to provide for them? Have you said, God, you give a gift from you. Why should I be burdened? I'm going to trust God that God will provide for them. And God does provide. So guys, this time is important. And also, something I really want to talk about very quickly, which I'm so passionate about, is the disguise from the devil. You see, things today are becoming harmless. Everything is harmless. There is nothing that looks harmful anymore. You can go online, you can watch a YouTube about self-harming. Like, that sounds good, it sounds cool. They make it sound is so nice. You go on WhatsApp, you go on Instagram, the pictures, they do things, they make it so colorful, it's so harmless. And the Bible talks about that. Paul was so concerned about the Ephesian church. If you look at what he said, keep watch over yourself and to the flock. Why? And when I leave, savage wolves. You see, you cannot be, no matter how security conscious you are as a parent, there is no way you can be with your kid 24/7. Your eyes cannot be with them all the time. There will be in a point where you don't know where they are, you don't know what they are doing. I mean, they're not here now, but I know they're doing something like that. I don't know what they're doing now, but I trust the people there that are doing the right thing because we're a church. But they will go to different places. They go to parties. They go to different places. You don't know what they are doing. You don't know where they are. After my departure, when I'm not there, that is when the wolves wants to come. When I'm not watching, when I'm not there with that tablet, I mean, we have a lot of filters. We block this, we block that, we block everything. I block everything. But you can get to a point where you're so paranoid about blocking everything. That how much can you block? These guys are so clever. They always find a way. Do you know this the funny thing? They found a way into kids' stories. They found a way into children's YouTube. Those things are cleverly orchestrated. If you're not discerning as a parent, you don't know what the kids are watching, and these things are being processed in their heart. So they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And do you know what, guys? These guys are savage. If you look at Matthew 7:15, ferocious. They want to tear these guys apart. And I'm painting a very bad picture here. But there's good news. There is good news. And the good news is that we need to intervene. We need to understand that these guys are a gift from God. We need to understand that there is a devil that, I'm not sure, is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? But we say that that Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Because the devil doesn't want people to see him. Do you think if the devil comes in, do you think you will see two-armed dragon-like scary? No! You ever see there are wolves in sheep's clothing? There are people that look like you, look like us, do things normally, but they have an agenda. And you think everyone is interested in your child? That is the height of naivety. If you think everything out there is aimed at helping your child, I am so sorry to disappoint you. That is far from the truth. There is not everything out there that is good for them. And you as a parent need to be discerning of what you need to do. So what do we do? And that's our intervention. The grace of God. There is the grace that comes from God. And when you bring them before God, you are the only person that can help these guys. He said, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all. And you know what that grace does? I love the NIV. It says it teaches us to say what? To say? No! No! This grace teaches to say no, because these guys will get to a point in their lives, they can't say yes to everything. Do you know, as a young person, I know there are young people listening to me, you should be saying more no's than yes.